Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.
The heartbeat of Saskatchewan is agriculture, and 620 CKRM is proud to be your source for everything ag. Welcome to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today. Sitting in for Jim Smalley, here's Tanner Wallace Gribner.
Welcome to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today, brought to you by Harvard Western Insurance. We don't judge. Here's another reminder to renew your plates today. Visit harvardwestern.com. On today's show, we chat with Trevor Hadwin with Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada about drought conditions in Saskatchewan and in Western Canada. We'll also discuss yesterday's news of the SAS party calling on the federal government to stay away from dugouts, and we'll have Sask Wheat's market outlook, in our final segment with the Farm Weather Market Update and Resource Report, all in their usual spots when we return.
This is Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with 620 CKRM Agri News Director Jim Smalley.
Tanner Wallace Scribner filling in for Jim Smalley for the next while. This portion of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by Johnston's Grain, your first and last stop for grain pricing and crop protection, and brought to you by Farm Fresh Water. They'll make your water well wonderful and your dugout drinkable. Get Farm Fresh Water today at farmfreshwater.ca. Last year, Agriculture Canada's Drought Watch map had Saskatchewan covered in browns, reds, and dark reds, indicating severe, extreme, or exceptional drought. Looking at the map this year, as of July, Trevor Hadwin, an agri-climate specialist with Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada, says that this year's change compared to last is drastic.
Yeah, there's certainly been a huge improvement from last year. And typically we don't see that big of an improvement year over year, but we had some tremendous weather changes this year. So we had a lot of good early spring precipitation in certainly in Manitoba, but also Saskatchewan. And then precipitation also caught up later in Alberta and really erased a lot of the drought deficits from last year already. So we are still struggling in some areas with dryness, and certainly with the recent heat and hot conditions have put some strain on some of the water issues as well. But compared to last year, it's a completely different story and a much more optimistic story for producers.
And what percentage of the province remains in a drought condition?
At this time last year, we were looking at 100% of the agricultural area of Saskatchewan in drought. This year, we're just over 30%, so about 31.5% of area in drought. So again, a tremendous improvement within Saskatchewan, but Saskatchewan does have the largest region of drought within Western Canada that's continuing on. So when you look at Western Canada as a whole, last year again was around 93-94% of the total ag land in Western Canada in drought. This year we're about 14%. So again, it just shows the complete reversal of drought, much better conditions for growing conditions and for water supplies this year.
And looking at the map, if you were to draw a straight line down from Regina, the southeast, no drought conditions at all. Meanwhile, the southwest does have some severe drought conditions up by Saskatoon and Swift Current. And for those places that are still seeing drought, what's the difference for them compared to last year?
A tremendous difference. If you take out last year's drought and just look at the rainfall from basically September forward, or even this growing season from April 1st forward, we're seeing a tremendous amount of moisture in some of those areas. So again, compared to last year when we had some of the unprecedented heat that we've ever seen and some really dry conditions, this year conditions were actually fairly good for agriculture right across Western Canada. The challenge that we've seen in most of the region that we're still classifying drought is that they just haven't recovered from last year. And it's those long-term impacts, both in terms of water supply and pasture production. And then the drought and dryness that we, in the dry cycles that we get every season, they were more impactful in areas that were already impacted by drought. So again, less recovery in that area from last year, but overall, this growing season has been quite tremendous in terms of water and drought recovery and precipitation amounts.
We will have more of our conversation with Trevor Hadwin, an agroclimate specialist with Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada.
Back to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with Jim Smalley on 620 CKRM.
Danner Wallace Scribner filling in for Jim Smalley. This portion is brought to you by Prairie 6-inch eaves troughs. An inch makes a big difference. PrairieEavesTroughs.ca and Prairie Co-op Grow Team at Fueling Farms and Feeding Families in Cupar, Ituna, Lipton, and Strasburg. And drought is nothing new for farmers and producers in Saskatchewan, but as we continue our conversation with Trevor Hadwin, an agroclimate specialist with Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada, he says that they've been seeing them more severe and frequent.
Yeah, our drought ratings are based on a number of things, including our statistical chance of recurrence. But when we start to look at, are these events happening more frequently, the answer is clearly yes. And not just within the Prairie region, but within a large portion of the North American region, we're seeing more severe droughts, more frequent droughts, and droughts that come up and are more intense more quickly than normal. So we're certainly seeing changes in precipitation patterns, changes in heat patterns throughout Western Canada and Western North America. And we're starting to see, again, the flip-flopping from extreme to extreme in some cases that we didn't necessarily see as frequently as before. So we again, Manitoba was one of the worst drought hit regions in Western Canada last year, and this year we had some near record flooding and near record precipitation throughout that region, depending on the time frame you're looking at. So again, going from very dry to very wet really quick isn't necessarily a real positive story either. There's impacts on both ends of the moisture spectrum there. So again, we certainly are seeing more and more frequent droughts and more intense weather events and more severe weather.
And Trevor, is there anything else you want to add for our listeners?
Just one. The next drought assessment will begin at the end of the month here, and we will publish an update for that by the end of the second week of August there, or sorry, the second week of September. So I believe that's, our September 9th will be our next drought update. So the assessment will be ongoing over the next couple of weeks here. And at this point, we haven't really dived into how conditions will improve or degrade, but we've certainly seen a lot of hot weather and some storm events here and there. So we are expecting a fair bit of change in some of the areas. The amount of drought may not change a whole lot. It's going to improve in some areas and degrade in others, but we are expecting some fairly significant changes throughout the month of August here as we go through our assessment period.
Hadwin adds that for a look at the drought map and to keep updated, you can visit Agriculture's website or simply type in Canadian Drought Monitor through your search engine. We'll be right back.
Time now for Real Agriculture with Sean Haney. Brought to you in part by Karst Holdings in Assiniboia and Schlamps Integra Tire in Grenfell. Your locally owned Integra Tire dealers on The Source, 620 CKRM.
This is your RealAgriculture.com update. Bring the energy of Real Ag Radio to your next customer meeting or conference. From your stage, we'll record an episode in person to inform and provide insight on the latest in agriculture. Email advertising@realagriculture.com to learn more about this unique keynote opportunity.
Brittany Warner here with realagriculture.com. Welcome back to another episode of our Soil School, joined now by Ken Wall. He is a grow team advisor for Federated Cooperatives Limited. How's it going today, Ken?
Great.
Great. We're talking all about soil pits today, doing a little bit of digging. First and foremost, for our viewers and listeners, how do you properly dig a soil pit?
So basically, digging a soil pit, if you're really feeling ambitious, you grab a shovel and you start digging. And basically, you want to get down to the parent material. So however deep your soil profile is, that's how deep you want to go. In this case, we're about 2 or 2.5 feet is what we dug. And we did it the easy way. We used a front end loader, and then we just shaved off the edges so we got a vertical face, and so we can actually see where the different horizons start. So long story short, basically dig until you get down to the parent material.
Okay, great. And what are we looking for in a soil pit?
All right, so in this case, because there's a low level of salinity throughout this site, in this case, we basically wanted to, first of all, see the depth of the A horizon, look at the B horizon, and look for the presence of salts in is what we want to do, and then find out where the C horizon starts. So that gives you can get a learn a lot from doing that and figuring out what your plants are actually seeing and what the roots are going through as they're growing throughout the season.
Okay. And so this area kind of predominantly looking for that salt level, the salinity here is an issue. In other areas, what might producers be looking for in their soil pit?
So when you're doing your soil sampling, typically you go 0 to 6, and so you're measuring your first depth, and then usually 6 to 12 or 6 to 18, depending on what you have to do the soil sampling. So it's really important to know where your A horizon starts, where the B horizon starts, because your A horizon is where you've got all your organic matter. That is a horizon that was formed by basically your climate, by the precipitation and the amount of different vegetation that you had growing here since the last ice age. So really important to know where that depth is. So if you're taking a sample 0 to 6 and you've only got an A horizon down to 4 inches, you're probably gonna over or underestimate the amount of organic matter you've actually got in that horizon. So in that case, you may want to make that top depth maybe a little bit shallower.
Sure. And then what decisions does this kind of adjust farther down the road for producers by knowing kind of what those levels are, those horizons? What can that indicate for them to do for future applications throughout the growing season, etc.?
It's especially in the Southwest, it's also important to know. So for example, you've got an area where the plants maybe aren't growing as good as they are in the rest of the field. Digging a pit will show you things that are going on. For example, in this area, we can actually see the salt crystals. We can see the calcium and magnesium sulfates in that B horizon. We can see that the flecks are there, and then we go down into the parent material. We can actually see the gypsum crystals and see the presence of these salts, which as the soil becomes wet through a heavy rain event or whatever, will go into soil solution and will maybe move around a bit in the soil. And here we can see that they really haven't been flushed out. They are fairly close to the surface, which is why we're having the effects on the plants. So you can learn a lot of things about a soil based on what you see in a pit.
And how often should farmers be digging these soil pits? And are we talking every field, multiple spots in each field? What's kind of the parameters that way?
Typically, within regions, it would have been nice to dig a pit here because we know we're in a saline area, to go and dig it in an area where it's not affected by salinity, where you wouldn't see those salt flecks, and you probably wouldn't see the prismatic or the columnar structure of the B horizon here, which again happens when you've got excess levels of sodium. The sodium attaches to the soil, to the soil exchange sites, and it actually disperses the clay, and then the clay starts to get leached down.
This has been your Real Agriculture Update. You can find out more about this issue or many others at Real Agriculture.
It's your Agra weather forecast on The Source, 620 CKRM.
The official 620 CKRM farm weather forecast is brought to you by Shepherd Realty in Regina. Specializing in farm and ranch real estate in Saskatchewan, call Harry, Justin, or Devin at 352-1866 and Moose Jaw Truck Shop, the number one choice for any diesel engine repair. Drop in, no appointment necessary, or visit moosejawchuckshop.com. Looking at the forecast today, it's sunny with a high of 30 and a low of 13. Tomorrow, increasing cloudiness in the morning, a high of 29 and a low of 13. On Thursday, a high of 26 and a low of 15. The normal high for today is 26. The normal low is 8. Sunrise was at 5:47 and sunset is scheduled for 8:02 tonight. Around the province at this hour, in Estevan, it's 25. Yorkton and Swift Current, 20 degrees. Moose Jaw, 24. Weyburn, 20 degrees. And in Regina, it's 21 degrees. We'll be back.
You're listening to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with 620 CKRM Agri News Director Jim Smalley.
Tanner Wall, the Scribner, filling in for Jim Smalley. This portion of Agriculture Today is brought to you by McDougall Auctioneers. Get fair market value for your assets with an online auction through McDougall Auctioneers, McDougallAuctions.com, and brought to you by Pattison Liquid Systems, experts in liquid fertilizer distribution. Fertilizer's just better when it's wetter. Pattison Liquid Systems, expect the best. The SAS party government says they want an explanation from Ottawa after federal employees allegedly took water samples from farmers' lands without permission. Jeremy Cockrell, the minister responsible for the province's Water Security Agency, said three landowners in southern Saskatchewan had recent unannounced visits from federal employees. He said during each separate instance, the employees, who arrived in black Government of Canada vehicles, took samples from dugouts without the landowner's permission. In a letter to federal environmental minister, Cockrell wanted to know which regulation the federal government was acting on, while also referencing the province's Trespassing Act. Cockrell also cited the act because he wants the federal government to be aware that arrests are possible if federal employees enter private property without permission. Environment and Climate Change Canada said it's investigating the incidents, confirming that on August 11th in Pence, water scientists were approached by a landowner, notifying them that they were on private land as they took samples near a highway. A spokesperson for the agency said that federal employees routinely conduct water monitoring across the country and that staff have been collecting samples in water bodies at targeted sites across the country for Health Canada all year. The federal and provincial governments both share jurisdiction over water quality, said Brenda Helene Powell, a staff counsel with the Environmental Law Center based in Edmonton. The federal government has jurisdiction over fisheries and authority over migratory birds, while the provincial government has jurisdiction over local matters, Helene Powell said. She added that without knowing what the federal government was testing for, she can't say whether the federal government was acting outside of its jurisdiction. We'll be right back with more Agriculture Today.
You're tuned to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today on The Source, 620 CKRM.
This segment of Saskatchewan Agriculture Today is brought to you by Degelman Industries. Look to Degelman for the most reliable, dependable, engineered tough equipment on the market and Arcola Building Supplies. Small town lumberyard, big on service, ArcolaBuildingSupplies.com. Michael Wilton of Mercantile Consulting Venture has provided his weekly overview of the wheat market. It was issued through the Saskatchewan Wheat Developments Commission yesterday afternoon. Here's what Michael had to say.
Wheat markets were lower last week on a combination of slow demand, improving Black Sea exports, a reportedly larger crop from India, and harvest pressure. For the significant purchases and trades, we did not hear of any new business last week as high freight costs and premiums are keeping buyers reluctant and cautious. The tender that we expected from Iraq was canceled. U.S. weekly wheat sales were 207,000 tons. This was below trade expectations. Now for some of the most important news that happened last week. Starting in Canada, spring wheat harvest is just getting going across the western prairies. Spring wheat harvest in Saskatchewan is 1% complete. Winter wheat and fall rye harvest in Manitoba is almost done. Rye yields have been average, which is 75 to 85 bushels per acre. This is lower than most were expecting. Winter wheat yields, meanwhile, were low at 60 to 75 bushels per acre. Basis levels in the northern states and Canada are relatively strong as we enter harvest time. This is largely a function of the late harvest, but it could also mean there is some decent demand, as basis levels in the U.S. are strong despite their ongoing harvest progress. We are concerned about rail performance this year. Coal prices have soared since the Russian invasion in Ukraine. Rail companies are enjoying moving coal, and we worry they may favor coal over movement of grain. It will be interesting to see if these basis levels remain elevated once harvest starts in earnest this coming week or two. Durum harvest has begun in Alberta and is 8% done in Saskatchewan. The Argus Crop Tour lowered their average durum yield slightly to 39.5 bushels per acre. We have not heard of any harvested yields yet, but we have heard that lentil yields in some of the durum-producing areas of Saskatchewan and Alberta have been less than expected. In the U.S., winter wheat harvest in the U.S. is 90% complete. Progress has slowed as harvest moves further north. Spring wheat conditions in the U.S. were unchanged at 64% good to excellent. Harvest progress rose 7% from last week and is now 16% complete. The U.S. durum crop is 19% harvested in Montana and 10% harvested in North Dakota. Yields in Montana continue to be poor, but they're stronger in North Dakota. U.S. weekly export sales were 207,000 tons for a season total of 323 million bushels. This is 2% less than this time last year. And finally, the Black Sea. Ukraine is shipping grain out of three of their seaports. So far, 25 ships carrying 630,000 tons of grain have set sail since August 1st. As of Friday, there were 10 additional vessels being loaded. Total grain exports from Ukraine are 3 million tons, down 52% from last year. Ukraine's government says they can export 3 million tons of grain in September and 4 million tons of grain in October. This would be 15 ships per day, but it might be difficult to find that many ships willing to go to Ukraine. So far, just 41,000 tons of wheat has been shipped out of Ukraine. They'll need to do 1 million tons per month to meet the USDA's 11 million ton number. In Russia, the production potential of their wheat crop continues to be exceptional. Some are putting estimates in the triple digits compared to the Russian Ag Min's 90.5 to 95 million ton number. The Russian export pace continues to be on track to be 30 to 32 million tons, compared to the USDA's 42 million ton number. Similar to the EU, winter wheat growing regions in Russia and Ukraine are very dry. This will be watched as planting will start in the next few weeks. In conclusion, wheat will continue to come under pressure as harvest ramps up in the Northern Hemisphere. Further out, we think wheat will be supported on renewed cash buying, a smaller corn crop, and very dry conditions in some key growing regions of the EU and Black Sea.
That was Michael Wilter with the Saskatchewan Wheat Development Commission giving his wheat outlook. And for a whole look at the Saskatchewan Wheat's market outlook, you can visit their website. In other news, crop insurance programs may not be able to support farmers through changing weather patterns, climate change, and that will bring an agriculture food sector that needs to consider how to adapt to rising temperatures and distributed rainfall patterns, says a report from Natural Resources Canada. Canada is in a changing climate and includes lengthy chapters on what each province faces, and its sector on Ontario agriculture says crop insurance may not be sustainable and it doesn't offer suggestions for changes to the program and as to what that could mean for Saskatchewan residents. Agri-food is linked to other economic actors and is codependent on infrastructure components such as electricity, transportation, and telecommunications, which also face threats from climate change. Agri-food is a major employer in the province, which is Canada's top agri-food exporting province. They're talking about Ontario there. The rapid rate of climate change, particularly changes in extreme temperature and precipitation events, may challenge adaptation efforts. A wide range of climate and non-climate factors include crop growth and yield, while key factors including geographic location, soil type, weather patterns, and extreme events are outside the control producers. Responses such as the choice of cultivators, tillage, irrigation, and fertilizer practices, and timings of major operations provide opportunities to yield in any given year. We'll have more on this report. Stay tuned.
The market updates on The Source, 620 CKRM. Sitting in for Jim Smalley, here's Tanner Wallace-Gribner.
Your market update is brought to you by Freeze Thalman. Don't put off your summer projects. Freeze Thalman offers delivery to your rural or lake country property. And by Nelson GM in Assiniboia and Avonlea. With new inventory arriving daily, they'll find a vehicle that fits your agricultural lifestyle. Proudly serving southern Saskatchewan for over 60 years, see Nelson GM today. Looking at the latest Videra price quotes, Durham at 408.62, feed barley 260.287, Tignola up just under a point to 786.02, chickpeas at 925.95, flax at 627.67, lentils at 704.50, oats 269.53, yellow peas 441.05, feed wheat 299.56, and one red spring wheat up 5 points to 381.44. That's been your market update.
It's the Livestock Reports on The Source, 620 CKRM.
The livestock quotes are brought to you by the Weyburn Livestock Exchange. Call Weyburn at 842-4574. Now here are the latest livestock quotes.
This is the market report for the Weyburn Livestock Exchange for the week of August 23rd. Our last regular sale was on August 17th. D1 and D2 cows sold from $1.03 to $1.18. D3 cows sold from 90 cents to $1.03. Canner cows sold from 50 cents to 70 cents. Heiferettes sold from $1.32 to $1.51. And good butcher bulls sold from $1.25 to $1.45. We had a pre-sorted yearling sale here on August 15th. What a good time to be in the yearling business. 550 to 600 pound steers averaged $2.37 and sold up to $2.45. 600 to 650 pound steers averaged $2.41 and sold up to $2.45. 650 to 700 pound steers averaged $2.46 and sold up to $2.58. 700 to 800 pound steers averaged $2.39 and sold up to $2.58. 800 to 900 pound steers averaged $2.26 and sold up to $2.38. And steers over 900 pounds averaged $2.09 and sold up to $2.30. Heifers were about 15 to 20 cents back from the steers. This has been Stephanie Daig reporting from the Weyburn Livestock Exchange, the market that gets cattle and the prices too.
Coming up next, the Resource Report.
This is the Saskatchewan Resource Report on 620 CKRM. Here's Jim Smalley.
Now the Resource Report, brought to you by Second Look Online Auction. Visit secondlookonlineauction.com to see what's up for bid, and brought to you by Western Ag Professional Agronomy. If you want to make cropping decisions with confidence, visit growmoreprofit.com. Saskatchewan is flush with cash and out of the red. Finance Minister Donna Harpower says the province is raking in more money, largely due to natural resource prices. As a result, Harpower says her Saskatchewan party government is reversing its plan to add provincial sales tax to gym memberships and some recreational activities, which was set to come into effect in October. She says the province has enough money to balance the 2022-23 budget, which had a reported deficit of nearly $500 million in April. The Saskatchewan Party government says it also has enough to return some of that money to residents through tax credits. Saskatchewan is reporting a first quarter surplus of over $1 billion for 2022-23, $1.5 billion more than the province had in April when it tabled its budget. The announcement comes after Premier Scott Moe says his government will be doling out $500 checks to all residents 18 years and older starting this fall. Since March, Saskatchewan's NDP opposition has called on the government to offer financial relief for residents as they deal with inflation and the higher cost of living. In a statement, opposition finance critic Trent Witherspoon said that the government should have offered the relief months ago like other provinces have. He also linked the announcement to an upcoming by-election that is yet to be called for the Saskatoon-Miwasin riding to replace former NDP leader Ryan Miley. On the markets, the TSX is up 29 points. The Dow Jones is down 116. Oil is up $3.37 and is now trading at $93.73. And the Canadian dollar is up 54 one-hundredths of a cent to $77.13 U.S. That's the Resource Report. If you missed any segment of the show, tune into the on-demand Saskatchewan Agriculture Today podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada. Gowan Canada understands the challenges that growers face and takes pride in finding effective crop protection solutions. Visit GowanCanada.com to learn more.
You've been listening to Saskatchewan Agriculture Today with Jim Smalley on 620 CKRM. If you missed any of today's broadcast, download the podcast now online at 620ckrm.com. Saskatchewan Agriculture Today, following the 12 o'clock news on your voice for everything ag.
This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.